We've been studying in the book of Daniel. We're in Daniel chapter 7. And you remember when we were studying in Daniel chapter 2, I told you that there was something peculiar about the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, unlike all the other books in the Old Testament, has a different language in it. Remember, the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, for the most part, and the New Testament's written in Greek. But in the book of Daniel, there's a little section in there from inside of Daniel chapter 2 through Daniel chapter 7 that's written in Aramaic or Chaldean, the ancient Syriac language. It's the Gentile language. And God took a section of the book of Daniel, since it deals with the time of the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles is that period of time from the destruction of Jerusalem, basically, up until the return of Christ. Since that hasn't happened yet, we're still in the time of Gentiles. And so, God took a section of Daniel that dealt with the time of the Gentiles and put it in a Gentile language just to show us which part pertained to the Jews and which part pertained to the Gentiles. This is the last chapter that's written in Aramaic. And it deals with what will take place in the days of Gentile kings. Before that stone, remember the stone that fell in the statue dream in chapter 2, before that stone strikes the image and closes the time of the Gentiles. Chapter 8 will resume in Hebrew as it concerns Israel. As we study through Daniel chapter 7, understand that all throughout time, kingdoms will rise and kingdoms will fall. But Daniel is most interested in the fourth kingdom mentioned in Daniel chapter 7. He's most interested in its destruction and its replacement by the kingdom of God. If you would, in honor of God's word, if you're able, please stand with me while we read Daniel chapter 7. If you're not, you just remain seated. That's fine. Daniel chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. And it had three ribs in the mouth, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns, plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Father, we thank you for your word and that it's true. We thank you for your word when it sounds real good to us, and for your word when it doesn't sound quite so good, Father, but we know your word is good and is great. And we thank you for it. Now, Father, work it into our hearts, Father, that we might work it out into the hearts and lives of others that are around us in this holiday season. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You might think this is not the most promising Christmas message, but there's a wonderful message in Daniel chapter 7. As we start off in Daniel chapter 7 in verse 1, we have to step back about 15 years from where we were studying to about 553 BC, back in chapter 5, basically, in the first year of Belshazzar. Remember Belshazzar? Daniel was about 65 years old. We've been dealing with dreams of other people, other kings, and God working in the lives of these kings, but now we're dealing with Daniel's dreams. And the dream here implies that he was asleep. The vision implies what he saw in his dream. And he says here that he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters, or the total of the words. If you were to add it all up, and what does the whole thing mean? That's what he told us here. In verse 2 it says, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. The great sea in Scripture always refers to the Mediterranean Sea. But it can also symbolize the peoples of earth. Wind, as it's used here and many other times in Scripture, in the Hebrew is ruah, ruah. It's also translated spirit, because we can't see the Holy Spirit, we can't see the wind that blows through the trees, they're somewhat similar. In the Hebrew, it's the same word. So these winds may represent demonic spirits. Demonic spirits which strove or broke forth against the peoples of the earth. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, it says, And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. So God sent four angels to restrain something for a short period of time. And as you read on in Revelation chapter 7, it's to put God's mark upon those that are dedicated to Him. So God withholds some type of spiritual force there. Verse 3. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now I believe that these four kingdoms represent the same one in Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2. They appear differently, though. Remember the four dreams, the head of gold, the shoulders and chest of silver and brass, and then iron, and then iron and clay down at the toes. And it was supposed to represent Babylon and Medes and the Persians, Greece, and Rome. There's four great kingdoms. But how differently are they seen by the man of God compared to the way that they're seen by the man of the earth? See, Nebuchadnezzar saw them as valuable and majestic, towering as a statue, shining with gold and with silver. But the man of God, Daniel, saw them as greedy wild beasts. Verse 4, it says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 7, Babylon is referred to as lion. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 7. And in Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 3, Babylon is referred to as an eagle. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. A man's heart probably refers to the restoration of Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4. Remember when a man's heart was given to him after he was made to eat grass or be like a beast for 7 years. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised itself up on one side. Remember, that second beast was the Medes and the Persians. And the Persians were much stronger than the Medes, but they were allied together. And so it raised itself up on one side, the side that was much stronger. And the Persians definitely, in the end, took over. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And these three ribs might possibly represent the three recently conquered nations of Lydia, Babylon, and Egypt, which they had just taken over at this time, Lydia, Babylon, and Egypt. But there's something else told here in verse 5, right at the end. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. They were told to devour. These kingdoms operated by divine authority. They didn't operate on their own authority. Granted, they made many of the decisions themselves, but God allowed these kingdoms to operate the way they did. Sometimes we can look at different kingdoms throughout the world, different countries, and say, now, God, why are you allowing them to do this? Why did you allow that to happen? But His wisdom is above our wisdom, Scripture tells us. He allows it to happen for a certain reason. And here we see that God allows it to happen. And everything that He allowed them to do was to fulfill God's purpose. Was to fulfill God's purpose. Verse 6. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Alexander the Great, he conquered faster than any other leader in recorded history. And it had four heads. If you've studied much about Alexander the Great, you know he died an untimely death as a young man, in 323 BC, at the age of 32. And these four heads probably represent the division of his territory into the four empires of Greece, Thrace, Syria, and Egypt upon his death. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth that devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Remember that 10 horns are very similar to the 10 toes that we saw in chapter 2, made of iron and clay. Iron being very strong, but clay being very brittle, and there's not a whole lot of cohesiveness. In Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, it says this, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Sitteth upon many waters. The ocean representing, affecting many people's lives. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." But it continues in verse 12, and it says, "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." In Revelation 17, verse 12. See a very similar passage there. But in verse 8, as Daniel considers these horns, remember, he was more interested in this one power more than all the others. It was a mystery to him. And as he considered the horns, "And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things." This little horn is the first of many titles given him. Other names given him are King of Babylon, Lucifer, Son of the Morning, the King of Fierce Countenance, the Prince that shall come, the Vile Person, the Willful King, the King of the North, the Man of Sin, the Son of Perdition, the Wicked One, and the Beast. He's known by many names. We know our Lord Jesus Christ by many names. He's Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There's some right there. And Satan is the great counterfeit, comes under many names, fulfilling many roles for people that choose evil over good. And there's only one good, and that's God. Enough of a description for the little horn. We go on in verse 9, and we see in verse 9 the only description of God the Father in the Bible. "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire." The Ancient of Days is God the Father. In verse 10 it says, "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." Well, there are some that teach there might only be 144,000 in heaven. Well, that's not true. Because right here we see there were 1,000,000, and that's a million. And there were 1,000,000 ministering to him, but sitting all around the throne there were 10,000 times 10,000. That's 100 million. There were a lot of people there. Understand that 1,000 and 10,000 are the two highest numbers in the Hebrew or in the Greek. They didn't count very high. They counted to 1,000, 10,000. So he was saying gazillion times a gazillion. I mean, you've got a child that tries to explain to you a whole lot. Those are the biggest numbers they had. 1,000 times 1,000 and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the books were opened. Now these books represent an exact record of men's works, including yours and mine. "I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time." This probably refers to the fact that the people and the cultures, although the dominion was taken away, the people and the cultures still existed. They were allowed to remain. And Persia, ancient Persia, is today's Iran and Iraq. not a huge power anymore. But the people and the cultures are still preserved. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. That was the one that was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One like the Son of Man. It came with the clouds. Is it not interesting that we see Him go in the clouds in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. We see Him returning in the clouds. And as the men stood looking, gazing up into heaven, it says, two men dressed in white apparel appeared unto Him and said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come again in like manner as you have seen Him taken up into heaven, in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. He went up in clouds, He's coming back in clouds. So don't sing about that unclouded day. I'm praying for clouds. I'm praying for clouds. But here he was surrounded by clouds here. And He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him. So we see one of the instances in the Old Testament where we have both the Father and Son right there together. As separate. And still in unity. And there was given Him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Now I kind of have to think about a Christmas verse there. Think of Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. When the angel came and announced to Mary, and said that He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David, and He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. What does all this mean? Daniel wanted to know. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Four kingdoms, as with all other historical kingdoms thus far, all arise from the earth. Whereas the kingdom of God descends from heaven. Keep your eyes on that above. And not on the things on this earth. Because these kingdoms, and all kingdoms that have arisen out of earth, are going to be replaced by the one that comes from heaven. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, breaking pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. So he devoured, he broke into pieces. These nails of brass could also be claws of brass. He devoured and broke in pieces, and anything that was left he stamped out with his feet. He didn't let anything exist that wasn't under his full control. And the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. The saints possessed the kingdom. Not angels, mind you. Not the rich or the famous. Not the influential. But the saints possess the kingdom. The saints, those who have aligned themselves with God's plan and purpose for the earth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. We've shared that before in the last couple weeks. But you might ask the question, if the saints are to rule, why are there so many trials put upon the saints? If God knows that those are the ones that serve Him, why does He allow them to undergo so many trials? Might the answer be that it would give them an experience, it would give them an opportunity to learn the constant source of strength, the constant source of wisdom, so that when trials happen, they would automatically turn to that constant source of strength and wisdom. See, God is preparing leaders. He's preparing leaders for the future. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 28 and 29. In Luke chapter 22, verses 28 and 29, it says, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me." In Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." So how do you learn to rule others? How do you learn to rule over the nations? Well, first, by learning to discipline and rule yourself. You'll never be given rule over anything else unless you first have discipline and rule over yourself. So, when we think of heaven, don't think of clouds and harps, as we see so often in the pictures, but rather, think of authority and think of responsibility. Let's continue in Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 23. Thus he said, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." Now God is a supreme lawgiver. He gave many laws. He gave laws concerning homosexuality. He gave laws concerning marriage, concerning subjection of women, especially wives under their husbands. He gave laws regarding unrestrained procreation for those who are married. But today, laws have been passed, negating each of those God-given laws. Throughout the country, throughout the world, somewhere, there's been laws passed to negate every single one of those laws. But this tells us that the Antichrist will further manipulate the laws for his good and for his purposes, and possibly even try to manipulate the calendar. For what reason, I don't know. But it's something to be on the lookout for. "And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of time." Remember we studied about a time? A time is a year. And so, he's going to wear out the saints of the Most High, and the saints shall be given into his hand until a time, 1 year, times, 2 more years, and the dividing of time, a half. 3.5 years. I'm going to have you turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. In Revelation chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power in his seat and great authority." So it appears that maybe this fourth kingdom is kind of a conglomerate of these other kingdoms. Like unto a leopard, his feet were like that of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Symbols of the three kingdoms we've just studied. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. So he was killed and brought back to life. He's really trying to copy the Lord, isn't he? Really trying to make some manifestation so people would trust in him. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? Where is David in his slingshot and a couple stones right now? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 40 and 2 months. 40 and 2 months, that's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Remember, that's the entire world. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All the world, A-L-L, all the world will worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Well, I'm not going to do that. Well, is your name written in the book of life? First question we need to ask. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Who are these saints? There's been so much said about who these saints are. I'm going to have you turn to 2 Thessalonians. I know I don't normally have you turn so much. I just have you kind of listen, but I'm going to have you turn to 2 Thessalonians if you've got your Bibles with you. Who are these saints? Some say these saints are just the Jewish remnant that's left because the rapture will have happened by this time. Read through Matthew chapter 24. It hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened yet. We'll see that here in 2 Thessalonians 2. Remember this Antichrist, this great beast? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I'm reading through verse 5. Got a pen or pencil? Mark it down too. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That's the rapture. That's when all the saints are taken up to be with him. And all that are written in the book of life are taken up. None shall be left behind. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He's saying, don't let any spirit trouble you. Don't let any word or any false letter or anything anybody says to you. Think that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And how is he revealed? Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Not fully convinced? We'll wait till we get to Daniel chapter 12. Because in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Every one that shall be found written in the book. See, I believe that we're going to be raptured before the Great Tribulation. But so many people call a 7-year period right there at the end the Great Tribulation. But Scripture says that there's a first portion that's not a Great Tribulation, it's just a very tribulous time. The saints will undergo through that, I believe. Scripture says it, so I know it. But there is a time of great trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that very time. and at that time thy people shall be delivered. There's a time when man's wrath will pour out against man, and man will still be here for that. But then there will be a time when God's wrath will pour out against man. And since we're the bride of Christ, we will be taken out before that time. If not, it would be spouse abuse, wouldn't it? Because we're the bride of Christ. What a wonderful message for Christmas. That if your name is written in the book of life, you will be taken up to be with Him forever. And if you serve Him and honor His words in your life, you will reign and rule with Him. Verse 26. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away His dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. All the former kingdoms will be overcome by military force. However, the Antichrist will be overcome by divine judgment, and nothing will remain from his kingdom. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Thus are we to pray, as we're told in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. By doing that, we acknowledge several things. We acknowledge that God is in control. And praise God that He has a kingdom. And praise God that it is only a matter of time before He comes to restore it. Let's read the last verse written in Chaldean. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. So here we're given a bird's eye view of history, you could say. Before these four kingdoms, there was Egypt, which took the Israelites into captivity. They were delivered by Moses. Delivered by God, but at Moses' hand. And then Assyria, and then Babylon. The Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and the Roman Empire. There has never been a world empire since. Napoleon tried it. The Kaiser tried it. Hitler tried it. But they all failed. Maybe this fourth empire with 10 horns, maybe it's the newly formed European Union. It's said that it's going to be a European-type Roman country. Some say that these four nations, although they're symbolized by the older nations, are four nations that will arise in the future from this time. Maybe one of them is the United States, maybe one of them is Russia, maybe one of them is China, and the other one is the European Union. Those are world powers. But we know one thing for sure. We know many things for sure, but one thing here. The Antichrist turns against believers and he makes them the enemy. How powerful is the ecumenical movement today? Think about it. Think about it for a minute. There's so many diverse religions uniting together for so-called great world causes. We all serve the same God anyway, right? That's what you hear so much. Let's just unite together and do some good in the name of peace. But as more and more religions unite together, it will be very easily seen that only one group is really the problem. Those who recognize Jesus Christ as the only King. To make things worse, Revelation tells us that there will be a time of an economic boycott against all the saints, against all those that don't have the mark of the beast, whatever that is. They won't be able to buy nor sell. But the only way that people of faith can defeat the Antichrist is by maintaining their witness to God and to His Son. See, it's not Satan's particular desire to destroy your life. He doesn't want to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your testimony. And that's the essential battle of this age, is your testimony. or rather, the testimony that God lives within you. Remember, it's not your testimony, it's His testimony. Allow it to live in you. You don't have to defend it, allow God to defend it. It's His testimony that lives within you that will convict the hearts and lives of others that are around you. That closes Daniel chapter 7. That closes the time of the Gentiles. Maybe as Hilda starts playing, we can be reflective. Hopefully everybody here has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If so, we're told that our names are written in the book of life and that someday we'll ever be with the Lord. If your name isn't written in that book of life, I'd pray that you would consider that this morning. If you've got questions, come on up. We'd be glad to answer your questions right out of the Scripture and show you how you could know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Or that when that great and terrible time comes, that you're going to be there, have a one-way ticket to heaven. But maybe you're not really living your life for the Lord as you should. Maybe you've been trying to have some type of a Christian testimony and still live like the world most of the time. That's not God's testimony. That's your testimony that you're trying to build for yourself. You're trying to paint a good picture that you're a good person before other people. I know plenty of people that are very good people. Out of all the people I know, they'd make better Christians than some Christians that I know. They've got a great testimony for themselves. But it's not God's testimony. The Spirit is absent in their life. Why don't you stand with us? We'll sing.